everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Fever Podcast. This is episode 54. I'm your host, Holly Filmuth, and I am joined this week by Matt Desend.
Hello, Holly. How are you doing today?
Oh, just fabulous. Got up at 7:30, which is basically 6:30 because, you know, daylight savings.
I know, right? I feel like I'm just slightly thrown off just a little bit. I was looking at the time on my phone and I forgot that it automatically changed itself. And we record, obviously, at a certain time, and I looked at my phone, and I thought, like, my phone was wrong, so I, like, ran to my computer real quick, but I was like, oh, I still have a whole nother hour. I just feel, very thrown off of where I'm going and what I'm supposed to be doing. Luckily, it's a Sunday, and it's a weekend, you know, I don't have anything really going on too drastically or major, so yeah. That's the only positive.
That's probably why they put it on a Sunday, usually.
Probably.
I am actually feeling a little too tired to be thrown off, so maybe tomorrow I'll actually feel that, you know. Oh my gosh, why is the sun, you know, what happens? Okay, let me think. So we had to spring ahead,
yeah,
meaning
so we'll
that we have more.
More sunlight.
Sunlight for the day.
Because we push that hour ahead, the sunlight will come out, you know, if the sun was going to come out at 6 and we get up at 5, now we're going to get up at 6 when the sun comes up, so it's going to feel like we have more sun during the daytime, basically.
Okay, so maybe I'll get that sense tomorrow, but for now, I'm just kind of like floating through the day, you know. But let's begin this podcast. We have our usual structure, which I feel like we haven't actually had for a while. We're going to talk about our recent swag, what we've been playing, and a feature on just games from various platforms that we feel are worth playing. So Matt and I each have a few picks to talk about there. Just, you know, games that maybe not everybody knows about, but are definitely worth checking out. So let's start with recent swag. And I hear that Matt has a great little haul this week.
I got a fantastic amount of games. I can't even, I walked into a couple of my different thrift shops and pawn shops like I normally like to go into, and I scored. I mean, I totally had a really good find on everything that I found, so it was pretty darn exciting. I'll start with the GameCube stuff. I got 4 new GameCube games. Now, 3 of these I don't really care too much about, but my daughter has become a huge Harry Potter fan, and because of that, I had to get these 4. So I got Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, and then Harry Potter Quidditch World Cup.
You know, I actually have Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban on my GameCube as well, weirdly.
Well, we played it for about 2 hours almost the first night that I got it, and she was having a pretty good time with it. I found out that one of my controllers was broken on the R button. I had to unplug it and plug it back in because it wasn't responding for some reason. It was really weird.
No Expelliarmusing.
Well, it took a while. She was hollering at me saying, like, it's not working. I'm like, I'm sure it's working, Lily. Just keep trying to do it. I felt bad because, like, I was like,
you
just keep doing
her?
It. Well, it's not that I didn't believe her. I just felt like she probably wasn't maybe doing it correctly, you know, type thing. So I just kept saying, keep doing it. And then finally I stepped in and I grabbed it and I was like, oh.
Like, I'll show you how it's done.
Turns out this wasn't working. Oops. And then the 4th GameCube game I got is called Enter the Matrix. I'm assuming you probably knew what The Matrix is, but you've never seen the movies, right?
I saw the first Matrix, so it is a Matrix thing. I thought maybe it was just something that happened to have Matrix in the name.
This is, so from Matrix movie number 1 to Matrix movie 2 and 3, they did a lot of really cool things. They made the Animatrix, which was a, you know, animated versions of different Matrix stories. And then they also came up with the Enter the Matrix video game. It came out to all the platforms, obviously. This one has 2 discs for the GameCube, and the game is not amazing. The story's meh, and then, like, everything in it is just kind of like an okay game. But there is this really cool mode in it where you can actually hack the Matrix inside of the game, and you can, like, do things you're not supposed to do. Like, you can actually, like, hack into a 2-player verse fighting game that me and my younger brother did all the time on the Xbox version. So I'm going to see what cool stuff I can figure out with this again, basically.
All right.
That's been cool. And then I got a brand new, I don't know why I keep saying brand new to me, right? That's what
okay.
I mean.
Okay, so all those GameCube games, I was under the impression that they were brand new.
I know, I figured I was probably mistakenly saying all that. These are all used. Everything
okay.
I got is used, but this is all brand new to me, I guess is the way I mean it.
Okay, that makes sense now.
I got a black Game Boy Advance SP.
Ooh.
It looks sick and stellar, and I dig it a lot. I wish
it
was.
It has lots of fingerprints on it already.
It's actually not too bad because it's not that glossy look. It's that matte black look.
Matte, okay.
But I do wish that I could find a Game Boy Advance SP that was backlit instead of the front lit, because that's, I have a red one and this black one now, and they're both the front lit and not the backlit. So they look good, and it's nice to have the, you know, the lighting in it, obviously. But at the same time, it looks a lot better when something's being backlit instead of front lit.
Okay.
So
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yes. If it looks kind of like odd when you look at it, then it's front lit.
Well, basically. I noticed with the Game Boy Advance SP that, like, if you tilt it toward yourself or whatever, you see the light shining up through the screen.
That is front lit. Yep. Okay. And the backlit one looks, it's like the 3DS and everything else that we know as being backlit, basically. Yeah. You don't see those lines. You don't see that kind of nasty look to it. I'm not complaining, because it's okay. Nice to have this this front lit Game Boy Advance SP, but I do definitely like my Game Boy Micro, because it is backlit. So
okay, it just looks enough. A little nicer.
And then I also picked up a bunch of Game Boy Advance games. I got Midnight City, or Midnight Racing, I think is what it's called. It's a racing game that was made by Rockstar. I got Golden Sun on the cartridge, so that's all.
You didn't nice already and have that awesome. One.
Well, I already had it on my Wii U, because I got it for free.
That's how you were playing it.
I got it for free through the Club Nintendo stuff, but now I finally got the cartridge of Golden Sun, and being the collector I am, I'm happy to have that. I got Pokemon Leaf Green for the Game Boy Advance.
I own that one. So such classic.
When I bought the Game Boy Advance, I got it at, it's called a DI. Holly's probably familiar with it. Most of the other parts of America is not. It's just a thrift store, basically. But I saw the Game Boy Advance, I saw the games that I could see, and then I couldn't see that inside of the Game Boy Advance there was one game hiding out.
Oh.
And this game was hiding out inside of the Game Boy Advance.
Wait, Pokemon Leaf Green.
Pokemon Leaf Green inside the Game Boy. Oh, yeah, I feel like I got a steal. I also got Dragon Ball Z Tanakuchachi. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's a very, very bad fighting game for the Game Boy Advance. I got Pac-Man for the Game Boy, the original Game Boy. I got The Incredibles for the Game Boy Advance. And then one more Game Boy Color game, The Legend of Zelda, Oracle of Ages.
Ooh.
But it doesn't work.
Tragedy. Is it just the battery or?
I don't know what's wrong with it, because I tried to put it in and it turns on and it does the Nintendo sign and it does the, you know, ding, and then it doesn't go any farther.
Okay.
So I don't know. It's bricked in some way. I don't know if there's a way to fix it, but I'm going to try and figure out what I can do with it, because I was super, once again, like, that was a pretty good find. You know, even a used card of that is $20 on its own. So I was happy to get a part of this entire deal that I was able to find, you know?
Yeah, not bad.
I also got The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD.
Okay, now that's brand new, I'm assuming.
That one is brand spanking new. It came with the Twilight Princess original soundtrack from GameStop as well. So I don't know. I was very much up in debate to get it, as I'm sure you know, and the yeah. listeners know. I was never, like, you know, gung ho.
Yeah, wowed by the new and coat of paint, we'll call it.
I'm already 6 hours into it. We'll talk about it for Let's Playing little bit. And but yeah, that was my big haul of stuff that I got this last weekend. It was awesome. It was a really, really, really good find for me, and I'm gonna keep going out there and see what else I can find one of these days.
Yeah, well, I don't think that what I've got to talk about is going to top that, but at least I've got some things to talk about. I'll just quickly mention that I also got The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD with the Wolf Link amiibo and the soundtrack selection that you got from GameStop, which I have been impressed with the variety of tracks on the soundtrack, because I got a Twilight Princess soundtrack, I think, from, it was more of a sample thing from Nintendo Power, I think, and it had like maybe 7 tracks, and a lot of the like bonus soundtracks that you get from special edition things, sometimes they are a little scant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
7 to 10 tracks at the most,
yeah.
But this thing has 20,
which is actually pretty nice. I'll be honest,
it's,
I'm probably
bad.
Never gonna open mine.
Well, that's not, I mean, obviously you can listen to the music online if you really want to, and who knows, it could become rare later on down the road, so. But yeah, I'm pretty happy with that. As far as the actual selection goes, they just didn't put Gyarados Desert on there, which I think was kind of a missed opportunity. But I guess that's just me. It has some good songs in it, so that's good. I also wanted to mention, a few episodes ago we had our Pokemon special, and we talked a little bit about the shiny legendary dogs that I guess were given out as some kind of an event or something or other. I think it was a GameStop thing. And Coy Palfreyman, our guest for that episode, was telling me about how, you know, he had those shiny legendary dogs given away in that special promotion. But then he somehow lost them. Well, one of the listeners of the podcast, Gentis, was kind enough to trade me those three shiny dogs, because he said he had like three or four sets, maybe just two, but he had at least a couple of sets of them. So he's like, I'll trade you some. So I gave him, you know, just some throwaway Pokemon. I almost wish I could remember which ones I traded to him, but yeah, I thought it'd be cool, and he thought it'd be cool if I mentioned that in recent swag, even if it's not physical. Just because it's a pretty neat thing for me to be able to have. Another thing Pokemon related that I was able to get this past week was the official Pokemon handbook from I don't even know what year. It only covers 151 Pokemon plus Togepi in it. And so it's a really old little handbook. I wanted to get a copy of it, and I had to get one used because it's out of print, obviously. But when I was little, I think I found this book in the library, and I was obsessed with it. I just thought it was the coolest thing, because I was into the Pokemon anime, and I just wanted this official Pokemon handbook to have. So later on down the road, I owned a copy, and then later on down the road again, I lost that copy somehow. So I thought with the resurgence of the original Pokemon games, this would be kind of a fun thing to get. So I got the official Pokemon handbook, which is pretty neat. And finally, I think this might have fit. Yeah, I think it's been like 2 weeks since I got this, but I got the Fire Emblem Fates Special Edition, which is awesome.
Special Edition?
Yeah.
Now, did you pre-order that then?
I did. I pre-ordered it from GameStop as soon as I could, just because special editions tend to sell out.
Oh, yeah, they sell out immediately.
Yeah.
And you just barely got it, though?
I got it 2 Mondays ago, so it has been a while,
okay.
But I never
we
had a chance
haven't
to
talked
mention
about...
it.
Yep, we haven't talked about recent swag for a bit, so I gotcha.
Yep, really awesome special edition. The art book is hardcover and is gorgeous. The art in this game, the character art in particular, is just so good. So I'm glad to have the art book and everything else that came with that special edition. But talking about games that we have recently gotten, let's talk about actually playing those games. And we'll start with you again, Matt. Let's talk about some Twilight Princess.
Yeah,
if we could.
I have put in about 6 hours, and I'm out of the first temple, and I'm in the first village. I can't remember what the name of the village is, and I need to collect all the light.
Probably the second village, right? Because you start in Ordon Village.
Yeah, second village, or what I meant is the first village that you visit after the forest temple.
After your hometown, yeah.
Yeah, after the hometown, and...
that's Kikoriko.
Is
so
that okay?
Yeah.
I can never remember the name of all these crazy places. Whatever.
Don't
I got to get
it.
All the light. I got to get all the light from this place so that I can start, you know, finding where the temple's going to actually be at and stuff. So I remember when I played it for the very first time when the Wii first came out. It was the first game that I purchased and played, and I don't know why, but it never hooked me because I only ever beat the Forest Temple. Because as I was playing through the game in the beginning, I remember doing everything. I went through it, I beat the Forest Temple really quickly, and then I got to Hyrule Field, and I ran to go to the village, and then I got the bridge, and then I was like, huh, none of this now looks familiar to me. So I never put in a lot of time with it originally, is what I found out. Like, I thought I had put in a little bit more time than I actually did for some reason.
Yeah,
unless
there's quite a bit to come.
Unless maybe once I get, like, a little further down, I'll be like, oh, now I remember this. Like, I don't know if I just, like, I'm blanking on this part of it or something. So a lot of people complain about the beginning village, and they say that it takes too long to get out of that first part of it to really open up the game.
Tears of Light, you mean?
Not just the Tears of Light, but just from start to going to the first temple. A lot of people feel like that is too much time. And I'll be honest, from what I played, just that beginning, I actually kind of like it. I feel like this game does a very good job of setting up a world and setting up a mythical part of it. Like, even though it does take a while to get to the first village, I mean, all the things you do between the game starting to getting to the first temple, there is a lot of junk. I mean, the lame stuff is getting the goats, you know, herding the goats, and then you still have to turn into the wolf, and then you have to go through the castle. Like, all this stuff happens before you ever touch the very first temple. And I think that's actually kind of cool. It feels like an adventure. It
feels like a change of pace a little bit from a Zelda game, that's for sure.
So, and as you all know, like, this one I've played a little bit. Minish Cap I now played. The original one I played, which is way different in so many different ways, actually. But I just liked how this one felt like they were setting up something grand, I guess. And that's what it felt like. I think that it's kind of lame that I have to collect more light, light tears or whatever they're called?
Yeah, tears of light.
Tears of light. I don't want to do this. Do I have to do it every time I enter a new area?
Just for the first three. And then, and it follows kind of the Ocarina of Time formula where you have your first three dungeons and they're all kind of based on elements. And then you have a turning point in the game and then the rest of the dungeons are kind of one right after the other. There's always a little bit of filler between dungeons in a Zelda game.
Yeah.
But they move along at a bit of a quicker pace, definitely, after you get past the first three.
Okay, well, that's good. I hate those kinds of, like, monotonous types of, like, chore-type things that you got to do in a game. Like, so far, the puzzles have been very fun. I mean, even, like, when you go into the first building inside that second village and you have to use the torch to light all the candles in a circle, so you run around and, you know, you automatically jump, so you're just jumping from light to light to light to light, and then they all light up, and then you go down into the basement, and then you got to get out of the basement. I don't know, like, all that stuff's pretty fun so far. I've enjoyed it. And the game, so let me state this very clear. The game does not look good. The game looks nice.
So. Huh.
The game looks nice. It looks rounded. The higher resolution looks better, but everybody's blocky. You know, when you look at, like, the ground, it's flat.
It would have taken a big overhaul to change that about Twilight Princess for sure.
I totally agree, but that's kind of my problem with this port, is it feels rushed. And I get why they did it. They had to get something out to market. They thought this would be a good one to do an HD version of and stuff. And it looks nice. That's the thing, is it does look nice. It looks crisp.
The textures make it look a lot better than I expected it to be, that's for sure.
But it definitely doesn't look, it doesn't look...
like a proper, like the remake that it deserved to be.
I agree. That's I think this game could have shined.
Thinking. Yeah.
I think this game really could have shined, because the art direction itself, I think, is really nice looking. The gothic aesthetic, the kind of darker tone, just like even the enemies and the Twilight World. And the Twilight World, like, even today, like, a lot of times you look back at games that are older and you're like, oh, now it looks kind of generic or simple. Mm-hmm. The Twilight enemies still look really good, you know, and even the enemies that you fight throughout the game, the monkeys in the forest temple, like, they all have a very nice look to them. And the art style, I think, could have really complemented something that was really giving it its just desserts in an HD port.
Yeah.
But I have enjoyed it, and I'm excited to keep playing it. I'll be honest, like, this is the first game in a little while, I would say since probably Mario Maker, where when I'm not playing it, I kind of think about is, when is the next time I'll have some time to play it?
Yeah.
So I want to sit down and play it.
Yeah, I have felt that way as well, except that I'm starting to see some of Twilight Princess's flaws that I kind of was blinded by I think, back in the day when it first came out. I just barely finished the Fire Temple, which you are coming up on, if I'm not mistaken. And a lot of people consider the Goron Mines, which is basically the Fire Temple, in this game to be one of the game's best designed dungeons. And I just finished it, and I thought to myself, it was a bit of a letdown. Maybe it's because I do remember loving it when I was younger and played the game for the first time. I thought, like, that is a really good dungeon. I couldn't really put my finger on why at the time. But I always did have a feeling like this is one of the best dungeons in the game. Well, I just beat it and thought to myself, like, if this is the best that Twilight Princess has to offer, then I guess I just had rose-tinted glasses a little bit when I played the game for the first time, because I wasn't all that impressed, honestly, with the Goron Mines dungeon. I am afraid that Twilight Princess doesn't have the strongest dungeon design in the Zelda series, but it is still good, and I've still been enjoying it quite a bit. I do like the looks of it, but again, like you, Matt, I do think this game deserved a lot more than what it got in terms of how it was remade, and so... But it does look... I mean, when I first turned the thing on and saw some of those new textures, I thought, wow, they did an all right job at this. I mean, it's like we have said, it would need a lot more to make the world look a little less blocky, but it still is pretty impressive to look at, more so than I expected it would be, and I think that's how a lot of people probably feel. But another game that I have been playing where I'm kind of like you, Matt, if I'm not playing this one, I just want to be playing it at all times, basically, and that would be Fire Emblem Fates, of course. And I just want to quickly mention about this game. When Fire Emblem Awakening came out, of course I adore that game, and I played it for dozens upon dozens of hours. Actually, it kind of adds up to a couple hundred hours, at least.
I'm sure.
I loved it. I think it's a great game, but I agree with what a lot of people online have said, in that you can kind of almost break the game by doing all of that grinding so that you can basically just power through the game. It is not easy at all to grind in Fire Emblem Fates, and I don't know why nobody seems to be mentioning this, but I think that makes it just about leagues better than Fire Emblem Awakening, if that is even possible. And so I've been playing through Birthright, and of course that is the version of the game where you can kind of basically pay a little bit of money to get more resources and more experience for your fighters, but they don't... I mean, in Fire Emblem Awakening, you could go grind somewhere, and even really high-level characters would get a fair amount of experience points for grinding in just about any area, any level of area. But in this game, if you're not at a high enough level for grinding, your character literally will only get one experience point at a time for taking out enemies. It is not easy at all to grind in this game. It is not all that fun either. So the fun actually comes when you progress through the story and actually strategize as you progress through the story. And so I haven't been doing as much grinding, which I think is a really good thing. And like I say, I think that actually makes it leagues better than Fire Emblem Awakening. So I'm really appreciative of that. I actually, partway through my Birthright playthrough, started Conquest. So I've also been playing a little bit of Conquest, just because I kind of wanted to see more side by side what the changes in the story would be if I picked the different path. So I've been doing that, and I'm pretty much dying, especially after Nintendo released Fire Emblem Fates Revelation to the public, to the general public. I'm kind of dying to go to that path as well, but I gotta finish at least Birthrights before I do that. So,
are you crazy enough to play all three of them at the same time?
At the same time? Not quite that crazy. I'm playing the two at the same time right now.
I feel like next week you're just gonna be like, well, I couldn't help it. I just had to start it.
I'm so darn close to finishing Birthright, though. I think when I do finish Birthright, though, I may, like, put more focus onto Conquest, but I might actually also start Revelation at that time as well. So that once again, I will kind of be playing two different paths at the same time.
Now,
but we'll see how I feel, I guess.
I know that you absolutely loved and adored Awakening, and I know you had just how intense your love for that game was, and how you always recommended it and said that you should definitely try it and all that kind of stuff. Do you feel like this is an easier game for somebody who's not familiar with the series to jump into?
You mean between Birthright and Awakening?
No, between Fates and Awakening. Like, I mean, yeah, just in general, either Birthright or Conquest or Revelations when you eventually try it. Or do you think that somebody who's interested in the series should still start at Awakening, at least to get more familiar with it, and then kind of make their way through?
I would actually recommend starting with Awakening.
Still? Okay.
Yeah, there actually has been a review that I've read where it mentioned, and I kind of took this for granted because I was already familiar with Fire Emblem, but it mentioned that if you start with either of the Fire Emblem Fates games, you might be a little confused if you're brand new to the series because of all the, you know, relationship building is not explained as well as it is in Awakening. So you might want to start with Awakening first, would be my recommendation. But I am loving, I think just about everything was a notch above what was done in Awakening in Fire Emblem Fates. Like, the graphics are gorgeous. I think they did a much better job on the cutscenes. And of course, the strategy is a lot better. You can't break the game as easily in Fire Emblem Fates, even if you're playing Birthright, where you can grind. It is not nearly as easy to actually break the game and just breeze through it because you can grind. Grinding is not an easy or necessarily fun thing to do in Fates. So, start with Awakening, even though Fire Emblem Fates does just about everything better, in my opinion.
One of these days, I might have to.
Yeah. Well, you know, for now, it's all right. Let's talk about some more games, though, that we both can appreciate. Well, yes, I guess you might not be able to appreciate my picks, and I might not be able to appreciate yours, but let's talk about some recommendations that we have from over the years. Just because we can start kind of like, or we can go chronologically, I think maybe we'll start with one of my picks.
And just before we go into it, I want to just quickly shout out and say that the reason why we're doing this is because we've done videos in the past, or not, I don't know why I keep thinking videos. We've done podcasts in the past where we talked about our favorite Wii games and our favorite 3DS DS games. And if you're interested in a larger list of those two in particularly, please go back and listen to those ones for more recommendations. The idea behind this is just to give you, basically, we're both going to give you three recommendations for three different consoles. So you're going to get six different games for six different systems that you can go out and find. Now, I don't think any of these are going to be particularly expensive. And as a collector, I'm just going to tell you that if you're interested in playing the game and not collecting the game, just buy the cart and or the disc by itself. Don't worry about trying to get complete in box, because that's going to be way cheaper than trying to do a complete in box type thing. But yeah, is just, we just want to give you guys some good recommendations that you can go out and try to find today. If one, you have a system that you haven't bought any new games for a while, or if you're interested in a system but you're not quite sure what you want to play, that's what we're here for, is to give you a couple ideas of some games to try out.
Yeah, and speaking of one that is old and probably extremely difficult to find complete in box, the first one that I think we'll talk about is an NES game called Bionic Commando, which is one of my picks. I actually played this. It was recommended for this retro Redux thing that I was doing for a while. I just wanted to go back and see if I could play some classic NES games and see how they were nowadays, because I kind of missed out. I mean, it was a little before my time, to be perfectly honest, the NES was. So I thought it would be kind of fun to try out some retro NES games. And one of the ones that I was really impressed with that I feel like has held up pretty well is Bionic Commando. It's a Capcom game. It's about this guy who is, I guess, a bionic commando.
he loses his arm. And...
Yeah, so one of his... Yeah, he loses his arm, and they turn it into a grappling hook, basically. So that is one of the main functions in this game. It's just kind of a side-scrolling action game. But one of the main things, like I say, is the ability that you have to grapple to ledges. And you can draw yourself up onto the ledges, or you can swing across gaps. And it works really well. It's kind of a cool little gimmick for an NES game that you might not actually think would be possible, just because it was a long time ago, but it was possible and it works great. It feels great. It's a really fun little game. So if you happen to have an NES, and if you happen to find a cheapish copy of Bionic Commando, that is definitely one that I would recommend trying out. It's fun. It's colorful. What more can you ask for a just kind of classic retro game?
I've never played a lot of Bionic Commando, only like throughout like the times that I like pick up a NES and somebody has it and I play through like the first level or something like that. Like, it's never been a game that's like fully hooked me or anything like that. But I do know a lot of people that are like diehard
Bionic Commando fans.
Exactly. Like, they absolutely love this game. So I'm gonna imagine it's pretty good, and your little talk has definitely got me into wanting to go and check it out. Do you know if this is one that's on the Virtual Console, on the Wii Virtual Console?
I don't think it is. Ooh. I mean, I know they kind of did a remake, sort of, or maybe a spiritual successor, or maybe it's a direct sequel. I'm not sure, but it's just called Bionic Commando, but for the Game Boy. I know for a fact that that one is on the 3DS Virtual Console.
I might have to check that out then. I know that to buy the Game Boy, the Game Boy one, even like loose, is pretty expensive. It's a pretty rare game, I guess. But I will have to go and check out Bionic Commando for the NES, figure out some way to give it some love, just because I know that it is a classic and a lot of people really hold it pretty high. So
yeah, I'm looking at it on Wikipedia and it doesn't look like it has had any re-releases, you know, since its original release date back in the late 80s.
It's too bad, man. I mean, this is reasons why the Virtual Console is such a cool idea. You know, I hope one day we get to see more things that are hard to find games, or things that aren't readily available other places.
Yeah, and, you know, Nintendo might have some problems with, like, copyright stuff for some certain games that might come to Virtual Console. But I don't think Nintendo has a problem with Capcom, so
they don't seem to, but sometimes Capcom seems to have a problem with Capcom.
That's a good point.
Nobody else is like having an issue and they're just like, there's problems over there. It's like, anyone heard from Capcom? No, but their building's on fire. What happened? Nobody knows. It's just crazy. Do you want to jump into one of my games then?
Sure. What order are we at? I think we could probably go into the GBA. What came first, the GameCube or the Game Boy Advance?
They came out like right after another, I believe.
Okay, with GBA then. I think
we'll go with GBA. We're going to go with one of my all-time favorite, and I personally feel this is a hidden gem of a Game Boy Advance game, and you owe it to yourself to go and find it. It's not super expensive, and it's going to be so much worth your time. And Holly, I might just send this game to you or something, or you need to go find this, and you need to get your Game Boy Advance out, because this is called Rebel Star Tactical Command. And it is.
Have you talked about it before?
I have.
Isn't it it's a grid-based.
It is a grid-based RTS game.
Okay.
And it's like XCOM. And I actually found this out recently, that the people behind the original XCOM actually helped make this game. So it's super in-depth. It's so much fun. And it has such a novelty, fun story. And it's all, you know, just skip the story, jump straight into the matches, and then just figure out a way to kill the enemy. You know, that's what I love about this game, is it's modern, which is what I kind of look for in some of these types of games. Like, the fantasy setting never really appealed to me. But the modern setting with using, like, futuristic weapons, fighting aliens, it's just, it has a really nice art style. It's really clean and crisp. And then it's also just well done, like the mechanics and the systems inside of it. You know, it has that great feeling where you have to make that choice. Do you want to move two squares just to maybe get a little bit better percentage for your next shot? Or do you want to stay hidden and have a less percentage for your shot, but at least you probably won't get attacked on the next turn? You know, you have to make these really high, you know, heart pumping choices.
Well, that's Fire Emblem right there.
I know. That's why you got to try this.
It's a tactical game.
And I got to try that. You know, we both got to try these games out.
Yeah, it does sound like something I might like. So does it have, like in Fire Emblem, every character that you use is an individual. They have a personality and you can build relationships between them. But then there's like Advance Wars where you just have units that are basically, you know, what would the word be? They don't even,
well,
you know,
they're just pawns.
Have a name. Yeah, exactly.
They're just parts of a puzzle. They're nothing important. Yeah.
So which one of those is this game? Does it have individual characters?
It has a little bit of both from what I remember. It's been a little while since I've sat down and played it a little bit longer. But it does have like a full team that you have to like build and you outfit out at the same time. And you're not using a ton of people in each one of the maps, is the other part of it. You're only using, I want to say, like in the first few missions, you only ever have 4 or 5 in your team that you're trying to defeat the other people against. So okay. It's not like this crazy giant war like Advanced Wars, for instance, like you're saying. It's a lot smaller scale.
So does it have permadeath?
It does not have permadeath, no. You will be revived after the mission.
Okay, cool. It does sound like my kind of game, so.
It is totally tubular.
So feel free to send me that copy if you want.
Well, I mean, not my copy, but I'm going to keep my eye out for it.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. I guess I'll try to do that as well, because I would feel kind of bad if I made you guilt tripped you into sending me a copy.
You
so do you want to talk about, I can't what?
I said you can't guilt trip me.
Oh, fair enough. That's probably true. So you want to talk about Day of Reckoning on the GameCube now?
Yes. Next
another
game,
one I'm not familiar with.
Since we're going a little bit chronologically when it comes to the systems, the next one is for the Nintendo GameCube. This is called WWEF Day of Reckoning. Either WWF or WWE. I can never remember which
one at the time. This is a sports game?
This sounds is a wrestling, like a wrestling
game. Okay. Day of Reckoning made it sound like it could be some kind of, if maybe a futuristic something or other, actually.
This is a spiritual successor to some of the best wrestling games on the Nintendo 64. Everybody back in the day that liked the Nintendo 64 and you're a wrestling fan, you knew about Anaki, or AKI. I don't know how it's pronounced. I'm not going to try and butcher it. This developer made literally the best wrestling games for the Nintendo 64. They played fluently. It felt like you were developing a story inside of the match. You were actually trying to wear down your opponent before you tried to do your finisher to them and then finally pin them to win the match. It was very, very it was almost like you're playing like a tactical match, honestly. while okay. you're having a wrestling match. It's really, really
Day of,
good.
Yeah, Day of Reckoning suddenly sounds a little more appropriate for a spiritual successor to those kinds of games.
Now, so after the GameCube went disappeared, and there are not the GameCube, the Nintendo 64, there was two... There was a couple of really bad wrestling games made for the GameCube. WrestleMania 18, I think, is which one it is. Not very good at all. But Day of Reckoning and Day of Reckoning 2, both of them have the same style and interface and match mechanics that the old N64 games did. And you've heard me talk about Fire Pro Wrestling before. Basically, these are a 3D version of Fire Pro Wrestling. Like, when you grapple, it's not about button mashing, it's about timing. So instead of, if you want to perform a suplex, as soon as you grapple, you want to immediately press your light grab and up button, and that will cause you to do a suplex. But if you do it too late or too early, either your opponent can counter it, or you just won't be successful at it at all. So it's all based around timing. And then also when it comes to like striking and hitting and punching and kicking and doing things like that, you have to do it at certain moments, otherwise they won't connect. And if you don't connect enough with your strikes and your light grapples, then you won't be able to do your heavy grapples, which are like the really big power bombs and stuff like that. So, and if you're not able to do that, then you can never get to your finisher. You know, the whole game is based around really momentum throughout the match. And this had a really cool system in place where if you're losing like really, really badly, and then you can do like this last minute ditch effort where instead of using a finisher, it's basically you turn the momentum around, you know. And if you watch wrestling, ooh, like I do, there's always that guy that's getting like beat up and you're like, oh man, he's gonna lose, and then out of nowhere he just does like a super kick, and then like the match turns around on its side and you're like, oh, what's gonna happen? That's what this feels like. So highly recommend it. Even if you're not a wrestling fan, honestly, no, I can't recommend it if you're not a wrestling fan, because this is a wrestling fan's dream. Day of Reckoning and Day of Reckoning 2. And not only do they have a great mechanics when it comes to the wrestling, the story mode, when I was a young kid and I was playing it, literally made me drop my jaw. It was so unexpected. It was like I was watching wrestling. It has a really awesome twist and turn in the story that just... It's so much fun. Oh, I got to go find these games.
Well, I'm probably going to be feeling the same way about this next game once I'm done talking about it. And that is Rhythm Heaven for the DS. Since that came after GameCube, we're moving to the DS. Rhythm Heaven. This game just popped into my head because of the announcement of Rhythm Heaven Mega Mix, which obviously, as I mentioned last episode, I am super stoked for. And there are going to be a lot of rhythm games taken from the original Rhythm Heaven on Game Boy Advance for Rhythm Heaven on the DS, which actually came to the West, and also Rhythm Heaven Fever on the Wii. Some of those games are going to be taken straight from those games and put into Mega Mix, but I would still recommend possibly going back. If you can find a cheap copy of Rhythm Heaven, go for it. Super fun game. Just be sure to have a screen protector on your DS or 3DS or whatever you're going to be playing it on, because it is kind of demanding on your touchscreen, which I feel like that's one of the biggest flaws with it. One of the few but largest flaws of the game is that it's not super responsive. You really have to, like, for example, swiping on the touchscreen when you need to do that to the rhythm, you really have to like flick hard. And so I think it can be pretty tough on a touchscreen, especially if you're in the heat of the moment. But yeah, the Rhythm Heaven games, I love them so much. They're super colorful. There's a lot of whimsy to them. They're so odd. I mean, it's kind of unbelievable. I guess one of the rhythm games from the Game Boy Advance game, which never came to the West, involves, you know, from what I can tell, it involves plucking hairs out of this, like, onion. I think it looks like an onion to me, with a face.
Huh.
Like you're plucking its beard or something like that. And so
it might just be an old man, because sometimes, like...
Sometimes they actually look like...
They look like onions, like onions. Especially in like video games or when they're doing like caricatures, you know?
Yeah.
So that might be that or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, because I haven't played the original Game Boy Advance game. But yeah, just one example of the many, many weird and quirky things that go on in the Rhythm Heaven games. And so definitely, if you get the chance and if you've got a screen protector on your DS touchscreen, try out Rhythm Heaven. And you may just end up loving it, and in that case, Rhythm Heaven Mega Mix, which is coming to the 3DS this summer, will be all the more exciting for you. So that's one game I'd say give it a shot if you ever have a chance. But now let's move on to a Wii game of Matt's choosing.
Well, before we move on to that one, I just want to ask, because you've played the Wii version of the Rhythm Heaven as well, right?
Uh-huh.
And which one do you prefer more, the Game Boy, or the DS, or the Wii version of Rhythm Heaven?
I'd say I prefer the Wii one. I think it's got a the music is a little better in the Wii one.
Well, better quality, too, just because.
Yeah, but, you know, the actual tunes themselves, I think, are a little better in general. Plus, the Wii game, it has a few little storylines that you can watch unfold, not one right after the other. Like, you might have one minigame where there's this guy who's out on a date with his girlfriend. Well, not his girlfriend. I think maybe it's a first date or something like that. And he's just hoping that things go well. And then later on, you get another rhythm game that involves those two characters. And you get to see a little bit more of their story unfold. And then later on, you may get a remix of the same minigame that shows even more of that little storyline. And so there are actual, like, little stories that go on in the Wii game that I think are really neat. Plus, the Wii game uses buttons. It uses the A and B buttons as opposed to tapping and flicking and things like that on your DS touchscreen. And I just feel like buttons work a little bit better when it comes to these rhythm games. So I'd say that Fever on the Wii is a little bit better than the DS one, but I don't know why I didn't want to choose a Wii game, but I decided to pick the Rhythm Heaven for the DS. There's not a huge difference between the two. I think they're both great games, so.
It's all good. Yeah, we'll talk about the Wii game that I kind of went with, and I went with another sports title.
Which
you know
is fine.
Me and my sports.
Well, you need to represent that genre because I don't think I'm ever going to do it, and I don't know about Bradley, but we don't talk about sports much.
This game was a game that originally came out for the 360 and the PS3, and I remember thinking it was so cool. It was called Skate, and, you know, obviously you looked at the graphics on Skate, and it was like, oh, man, these look really nice, and it was just a really cool-looking skateboarding game. It was something way different than anything we'd seen for a long time. You know, Tony Hawk had come out and had done its thing, and everybody was kind of over that arcadey feel, and they wanted something a little bit more serious, something a little bit more realistic, and Skate kind of hit that tone for a lot of people. And I remember that there was a rumor that there was going to be a game for the Wii around Skate. And then IGN accidentally published the page that was going to be the announcement for it a day early. And immediately then took it down. But somebody like took a screenshot of it so like you could still see it all. And sure enough, it was right. And we got a pretty cool game, in my opinion, called Skate It for the Wii. Now, there's a lot of different ways that you can go about using controls for this game. You can use your balance board, you can use a Wii controller by itself, a Wiimote, or you can use a Wiimote and a nunchuck. If you're feeling like getting into the game, I mean, the most that you can, I highly recommend trying this with the balance board because it's pretty responsive. I'm not going to say it's like 100%, but I would say it's at least 80, 85% responsive. And once you get the problems out of the way and you're like, oh, I understand why this isn't working even though it should be working, you can get it all the way up to like 95% of the time it's going to be accurate for you. It's just you can get into these modes where you start doing a line on skating and you go from a kickflip to a manual to a 50-50 grind and then you land it and you just feel like an awesome person. Like, it just, you feel awesome after doing it. And
you're actually giving your balance board a little bit of
love. Because it does not get very much love. There's not much you can do with it. Yep. And it's a lot of fun. It has a really cool art style. The story is that there was natural disasters or something. Aliens or a meteor. I can't remember. Something weird happened in the story that basically made it so that all these places you go and visit, everybody has completely deserted it. So, like, there's nobody there. And obviously they did this for, like, technical limitations of the Wii hardware. But it makes it look really clean, and it has a very nice, like, minimalistic aesthetic to it. And it actually has a really cool look to it. I think it looks awesome. It plays a ton of fun. And I recommend it. I really do. Like, if you have a Wii, it's not expensive. If you have a Wii, I'm sure you got a balance board. This game is not going to be super hard or expensive to find. And it's so unique and different that it's worth trying out because you can't do this game anywhere else except for on the Wii. And that's kind of one of the neat things about it. You know, it it came from a franchise that was multi-platform, and they made an exclusive version of it. And I just think it's really cool.
Yeah. The fact that it does use the balance board makes me kind of inclined to check it out. If only I had more time to play video games in my life, though. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not talking about any video games that I play. I'm just talking about my favorite ones that I remember I used to love to play.
Yeah. If only we had more time. But the final game on our list is a 3DS title, and it's a pick of mine. It's called Pushmo, and I'm sure most of you already probably know what it is if you haven't already even if you haven't already played it. But if you haven't played it, get it. I think it's like maybe $10, maybe 15, maybe 12. I don't know.
I feel like it's 8.
That could be true too.
Let's just say that it's anywhere between $8 to $20. I feel like we have all of our bases covered.
Yeah. So it's fairly cheap, and I was just trying to think of a game that is a smaller game. It's cheaper. A lot of people probably stick with AAA games for the most part. And then there are some people who kind of stay away from the AAA games, funny enough. But either way, if you don't already own Pushmo on your 3DS, you should definitely give it a look. It is a great little puzzle game that I feel like anybody could enjoy, because before I played Pushmo, I didn't really play a lot of puzzle games. I didn't even know how to play Tetris, believe it or not. I had never played Tetris, and Yeah. I had never played it, didn't know how to play it, so when I actually ended up getting it on my Game Boy or my 3DS, I downloaded it on there, I had to ask somebody else, like, do you know how to play Tetris? Can you tell me? So, obviously, not a big fan of puzzle games, not somebody who played a lot of puzzle games, but I kind of wanted to get into puzzle games, and this was my first big puzzle game, I would say, and it's super fun. I've been playing it recently because I never did beat it all the way, I've been playing it recently, and I've just been re-realizing how great this little game is. Developed by Intelligent Studios, the people behind Fire Emblem, actually, so that's kind of an interesting thing. It's super colorful but extremely difficult in the later levels. But you can still, even if you don't want to progress all the way to the end and beat all of the extremely difficult levels, there are still plenty of good levels for you to play. You do have the option, after you've been playing a certain level for a certain amount of time, you will have the option to skip to the next level, which is really good, because some puzzle games I have discovered don't actually do that, so that's one good thing about it. And if you're kind of living under a rock, or you don't like Nintendo, but you're listening to this anyway, the whole idea is that you're this chubby little sumo wrestler dude. You need to go to these playground equipments, I guess, that just happen to sometimes be shaped really cool. They're really colorful. They're kind of made out of blocky structures. Basically, you're pushing and pulling them out and in, to create a stairway of sorts, basically up to a certain platform there's a little kid who got stuck there. That's kind of the storyline, is that there's a bunch of kids stuck on this playground equipment that is very puzzly. Like I say, super colorful, but super difficult. So don't look at it and think like, oh, this is just going to be a simple, easy puzzle game. It gets extremely difficult, but it is really fun. It's a cool, unique premise. It actually uses the 3D effect quite well on the 3DS. Overall, a really good game, really cheap. So go download that if you haven't already.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Okay, you can also get Pushmo World. I think it might be a remake of sorts, plus maybe a little extra content on Wii U. So if you want to go that route, you can get Pushmo World on the Wii U. But having it portable is pretty handy, so Pushmo.
Yeah, it is a fun game, and it's also one of those games that you watch it, and it looks a little difficult at times, but it's definitely not anything crazy.
Yeah, another good thing about it is that there's always something new, you know, there's always something that you can try. It's not a puzzle game where you're just going to hit a wall and absolutely have nothing more to try and you're just super frustrated, which is, I feel, kind of how Box Boy ended up for me sometimes. But that's the good thing about Pushmo. You can always try something new. You can always mess around with it and finagle around with your particular puzzle, and then something may strike you and bam, you've got the solution right there. And so it's not the impossible puzzle game.
No, it's not. And it's one of those games that I feel you you set it down and you come back to it and you like look at that puzzle again, you're like, oh, I got it.
Yeah, so it's a great game. Just like any good puzzle game, it does make you feel quite satisfied when you're able to figure something out that has been stumping you for a while. And I did that just before the podcast, in fact. I was doing this puzzle that's actually shaped like a peacock or maybe a flamingo. Flamingo actually sounds a little more accurate, but a few weeks ago, I was kind of struggling on that one, but I didn't want to skip to the next one. So I was playing it just before the podcast, and I managed to figure out the solution, and it felt pretty dang good. So it's a fantastic little puzzle game for just about anyone. If you like puzzle games, you'll love Pushmo. If you don't like puzzle games, but you're somewhat interested in trying them, this is the one to try, I would say.
And definitely just take a look at some video, because it shows really well. Like I said, like, it may look a little intimidating, but it still has a good look where you get the idea of what you're doing very easily from a video. I mean, honestly, you're pulling and pushing things. Yeah. So you'll figure it out, I promise.
Yeah, the concept is as easy as basically making a staircase for yourself up to the goal.
Yep,
so.
That's perfect right there.
Yeah, I guess I probably could have just said that and that would have been good, but
no, you know, it was worth it just to go through the long-winded version of it. It's okay.
Yeah. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our list, though, and therefore the end of this episode of the podcast. And since we have just a little bit of extra time here, let's go through and tell everyone a few different ways they can get in contact with us. First of all, if you would like to email us, you can email us at podcast@nintendofever.com. You can tell us anything what you thought about this show. Send us in questions. We would like to do a mailbag episode sometime in the nearish future, and so send us questions that we can talk about later or whatever else you want to talk to us about. You can also follow us on Twitter. You can follow @NintendoFever, or you can follow me @HollyFelmuth or Matt.
You can always find me on Twitter @OnlyMattDezen. Also, please either email us or send us via tweeting, Twitter, whatever you want to say about it. Some suggestions that you guys might have. If you have a hidden gem on the Wii, 3DS, Game Boy Advance, whatever the case may be, please, if nothing else, let me know about it, because I'm a collector of a bunch of stuff. And somebody told me that the Game Boy Advance version of The Incredibles was a good game, and I was lucky enough to be able to find it. So I'm excited to give that a shot, because I was already kind of told, hey, this is a pretty fun game. So if you have a recommendation of a game that I should be keeping my eyes out for, please let me know. The other day I found a bunch of Game Boy Color games. None of them looked very enticing. Like, they had Tony Hawk Pro Skater, but it's not a very good game on the Game Boy Color, and I don't need to buy it right now, so I decided not to. But if somebody would have been like, oh, you know, that game, whatever, was really good, and they had it there too, I could have purchased that because I had a recommendation to go and get it. So if there's something that you would recommend, please email us and or tweet at me. I would be very thankful if you did.
Yep, and you can also play some Wii U games with us if you'd like to friend request us on there. I know for me, my friend list is pretty full right now, but I can always remove some of those people who I don't even remember why I friended them. It was probably when we played Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate together. So don't be shy about sending me a Wii U friend request. You can do that with my Nintendo Network ID, which is Aeroweth. It's spelled Aeroweth. And what are your thoughts on that, Matt? Can you fit some more people on your friend list, possibly?
I can, and if enough people wanted to, I would definitely be willing to get rid of... There's lots of people that friended me, you know, when the Wii first became a thing, and I was kind of active on Miiverse, so, like, I just got friends because of that. But there's a lot of people I don't talk to or don't play games with anymore. And honestly, like, one of the online games that I love to play is Splatoon. Madden 13. I've been popping Mario Kart 8 in a couple times here and there, and then also Smash Brothers, obviously, of course. So if you're playing one of those four games on a regular basis, let me know, and I'd love to play. I don't play Madden against enough people, so if you got some Madden skills, I don't even know if Holly knows what I'm talking about. I'm talking about football here, Holly. Madden football.
I'm familiar with it. I just barely traded off my Madden 09 PlayStation Portable game.
If you have Madden 13 for the Wii U and you'd like to play, I would love to play anybody, so hit me up on there for that for sure.
Yep, and Matt's Nintendo Network ID, if I'm not mistaken, is Only Matt.
Only Matt, yep.
Yep, pretty basic. So, yeah, definitely contact us, and don't forget to send in some questions if you can think of any for us to answer in a possible future mailbag episode. We'd love to talk questions. your questions. So yeah, send those to us. Thanks though for listening to this week's episode of the podcast. This has been episode 54 with myself, Holly Felmuth, and Matt Desend. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.